Appreciate that song this evening. I feel like that was my call.
Amen.
I have a message tonight that I feel like the Lord has especially given me. Been blessed me with it. I want to pass it on to you. I trust that it is a message of hope, of encouragement, and a message that can challenge us in the Lord. I'd like to start this evening in 2 Kings, the 6th chapter. 2 Kings, the 6th chapter, and we'll start in the 14th verse. I guess just for a little background for the sake of time. If you remember, the Syrians were coming after Israel. And the king of Syria, they were trying to set up camp in a way that they could overtake Israel and maybe ambush them, be in hiding nonetheless. And there was a man of God named Elisha, and he knew where they were camping out. And so the scripture tells us that not once and not twice, there were times that Elisha told the king of Israel, let the king of Israel know where the Syrian army was. And they escaped. They escaped being attacked and being ambushed. Well, the king of Syria decided, what's going on? How did they know this was happening? How did they know that this is where we were? And somebody came and they said, well, there's a man of God. And it's him. And he says, well, I want to go find him. I'm going to go get him. I'm going to take him. And so in the 14th verse it says, therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early, this isn't Elisha, this is the servant of the man of God, Elisha. When the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Have you ever been in the place where you felt like saying or you said, alas, my master, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're surrounded. What are we going to do? Where is our hope now? We're here. There's two of us. And we have an army that's encamped about us. And they're after us. And I want to tell you this evening, the Syrians, they meant business. This wasn't just coming to have a little chat on how did you know we were there? You know, well, I was just interested, you know. You took us by surprise. No, they were coming for serious business. And they didn't play games back then. They didn't play games. They played by a hard rule of law. Sometimes where there was no law. And there was reason for the servant of Elisha to be concerned. And he looked out there and he saw all of those people encamped around him. What are we going to do? You've been there, haven't you? The walls are thicker than we can penetrate. The obstacles, the weights are heavier than we can carry. We don't know how we're going to get through. Is this the end? How can I make it through this? We've been there, haven't we? Alas, my master, what are we going to do? But I want to tell you what happened. The Scripture tells us what happened. There was a change of vision. There was a change in the man's way of seeing things. The Lord came down and He touched his eyes. And he saw things completely different than what he used to see them. Did you know the Lord wants to touch your eyes tonight? The Lord wants to give you a spiritual vision. He wants you to see the way that He sees. He wants you to get your eyes opened to the power of the Lord. He wants to get your eyes open in a way that goes past and reaches further out than what this world has to offer you to look at. Oh, would our prayer tonight be the Greeks that came to Philip. They requested of Philip. Something stirred within their hearts. And they came to Philip and they said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." That's the message tonight. "Sir, oh Lord, we would see Jesus. Lord, we need You. We're blind without You. Without You opening our eyesight, Lord, we see things in ways that we think it's reality, but it's not. This man just thought he was seeing what was real. And if you ask him, what do you see out there? He'd say, "Well, I see the Syrian army." He'd say, "Well, do you see anything else?" "No, that's all that's out there. We're done for. What are we going to do?" But was he right? He wasn't right. He really didn't see what there was to be seen. There was more out there than what his human eyes could take in. And when he was overwhelmed, that's when he said, "Oh, what are we going to do?" And Elisha said, "Lord, would You open his eyes? Lord, would you give him a vision of Your power? Would You help him to see that we're not alone? Would You help him to see that no matter how big and how strong the Syrian army appears, oh, they're far outnumbered. They're not to be worried about. Well, we don't have to be in despair. Well, we don't have to wonder and feel like we're at our end." The word "alas," you know what the word "alas" means? Unhappiness, concern. He started his sentence out, "I'm concerned. What are we going to do? Or this is it." Lord, open his eyes. The men that came to Philip, "Sir, we would see Jesus." "Oh, there's a lot of things you can see in the world today. What are you looking for? What are you looking for today in the world? What are you looking for in your life? What do you see?" What are you looking to be satisfied with? Did you know that the world offers so much to look at?
Yes.
Did you know that the enemy offers so much to look at? He offers so much to look at, and people look at it and they say, "Well, look at what's out there." You say, "Yeah, that's out there, but do you see what else is out there?" "No, I mean, look, that's what's out there." And they miss. Multitudes and masses are missing. They're blinded. They're spiritually blind as to what reality is. I began to touch on it the other night when I told you that the Lord had opened up to me when people say, "Well, I don't see it like that." And I for a long time I thought, "Well, they have to. I mean, that they have to not see it like that. Certainly they see it differently than that." Until I felt like the Lord told me, checked me. They do see it like that. That is how they see it. When people say, "Well, I just don't understand it. I don't see it that way." You hear that. Many people, folks, in the camp of the saints among us, more and more and more, people are saying, "Well, I don't see it that way." And you know what? I believe them. I believe them. They don't. They don't see it that way. You know why? Because they haven't been touched by the Master. Because they haven't had a strong enough desire to come and say, as the Greeks did to Philip, and say, "Sir, we would see Jesus. We're done looking at all these other things. Well, we found that it's a dead end. Well, we've gone after these things and we find that what we think we see, when we get there, it's not what we thought it was. There must be something different." People in the desert look out and they think they see water. And they work and they work to get there, and they're almost done. And they think, well, if I just go a little farther, just a little farther, I'll get what I want. I'll get what I need. But it just keeps moving. And it's not there. And the enemy is doing that to people today among us. The enemy is blinding our eyes because we don't have this sense of urgency that we ought to have to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I would see Jesus. That's who I want to see. Lord, open my eyes of understanding. What do you see today? If you say, I don't see it. I just don't get it. I don't understand it. And yet there are men and women of God who have lived for years this way, and they're saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. This other way, it's wrought with trouble and problems and dead ends and eternal death, and the enemy is there. And you say, well, I don't see it. I just don't see it that way. Oh, beware tonight. In the fear of God, beware tonight. If you find yourself in that place where you're telling yourself, I don't see it. I don't get it. I just don't see it that way. And then find security and comfort in that. And believe that you can walk, go ahead in life and walk that way and be safe. Oh, I want to tell you something. You're going to be disappointed. There's going to be trouble that you're going to come into. And if you don't get to the place where you say, Lord, I would see Jesus,
yes,
you're going to find an eternal death waiting for you. Mm-hmm. So many look but fail to see, fail to achieve a vision of what the Lord wants you to see. What do you see tonight? What are you looking for? What are you looking to satisfy? What are you looking for to satisfy you in your life? Forgive me if I repeat myself. I know I've said this a lot. My girls have probably heard it a lot. God made you and put within you the desire to be satisfied. Right? He's the creator. You're the created. It's not the other way around. He put within you the desire to be satisfied. Don't you think He knows how to satisfy you? And why is it that we so often believe that we know how to do it on our own? Why is it that so often we say, well, I know it says this, but you know we live in a different time and a different age, and we don't think about it like that anymore, and I don't view it like that anymore, and I think this will be okay, and this is what satisfies me. Are you satisfied? Have you found it? Have people out in the world that go after those things that in their eyes look right, do you find the satisfied people? When you read the newspapers, when you hear about what's going on, do you find the satisfied people? Well, why do people think that they will then be the exception to the reality all around them? Why do people then start to believe that, well, I'm an exception, I know how to customize my life, that they just all got it wrong? I want to tell you something. They're blinded by the same spirit of the world, by the same enemy that you're blinded by, that they're blinded by. It's the same spirit. It's the same enemy. There is only one person. There is only one being that can open your eyes.
That's right.
It's Jesus.
That's right.
That's who it is. It's Jesus.
Yes.
And the enemy is working overtime.
That's right.
He is working overtime to blind our eyes and yet tell us that we see. To try to give us confidence that you can see. You know what's going on. Men are guilty. They're fallen. They're in need. They're bleeding. They're hurting. And yet the enemy is doing it in such a way that people feel like that they see the right way out, that they know how to go. They don't realize they're dying. The enemy is in the business of causing these types of deaths. Have you ever seen somebody that was so engrossed with what they were doing that they didn't realize they were bleeding. Said, "Hey, did you got blood on your arm right there? What happened?" "Oh, I do." "I didn't even know I was cut." So taken with what they were doing that they didn't realize they were bleeding. I remember when we were putting the bricks in the front porch of the parsonage back here. Dad and I were out one night and we were laying the brick. I learned a valuable lesson that night. Don't ever use your finger as a trowel. Brick after brick, we'd set the brick down, and I wanted it to look nice. I wanted it to look perfect. And I took my finger, one or two fingers, and I'd rub it right between the two bricks over and over and over again. It was working really nice. I mean, there was a perfect little line that looked just like out of a book. And all evening long, that's what I did. And we got to the end and we were washing up and I realized my hand hurts. And I looked down and I didn't realize that all evening long, slowly, 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 I kept taking little skin cuts. Every time I wiped my finger across there, slowly, little skin cut, one after the other, till when I got done, I had so little skin between where my blood was that I had a whole bunch of little droplets of blood that were just oozing out of my finger. Do you know that the enemy's in the business of doing that? He gets you so taken with what you're doing. And no matter how much I realized that what I did was wrong, I couldn't change it. I had to live with it then. I think about the bullfights that happen. I've read just a little bit on that. Did you know that bullfighters and bulls that are in the ring, those bulls don't fall because of a bullet to the head. They don't fall down immediately because of a hard, overwhelming hit that drops them to the ground. You know how they die? They die a disoriented, confused, relatively slow loss of blood. And you know what they do to those bulls, I've read, before they put them in the ring? Sometimes they rub Vaseline over their eyes so that they can't see very clearly, so that their vision is blurred. And they put cotton in their nose so that it affects their respiratory system. So they start at a disadvantage already. And they already can't see what they need to see to be able to survive. And then slowly, slowly, they're pierced with little arrows. And they bleed slowly to death. And finally, finally, they die and they fall down. The enemy is in the business of bleeding people to death.
Yes.
The enemy is in the business of causing us to die because we are spiritually blind, because we go down a line, we go down a route, and we don't really realize the stakes. We don't see clearly the way of the Lord. We think we see. We think we know. But I want to challenge you this evening, if you don't have a desire in your heart to come to the Lord with all of your heart and say, "Lord, I would see Jesus. I want Jesus. Lord, what am I going to do? Lord, I'm willing to give you my all." It's going to take that for the Lord to reach down and open your eyes to see. And if you don't do that, I want to tell you in the fear of the Lord tonight, you can quickly become in a deceived state.
Yes, that's right.
And you go through life and eventually you feel like, "I know what I'm doing. This isn't necessary for me to live this way. This little bit of the world, I know how to control it." We heard a message this morning. People can begin to partake of all of these things, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, and get to the place where they feel like, "I can handle it. Because I see and I know where to stop. And I know just how far to go." No, you don't. Folks, you don't. Because you can't see if you haven't been touched by Jesus.
That's right.
You can't see. The devil does that. You think you know. You think you see. But you're blinded. If the Lord hasn't touched you, if you haven't come to the Lord and said, Lord, please, please touch me. Danger is at hand. Danger is at hand all around us. And souls, including professed Christians. As Charles Spurgeon once said, dance blindly on at the mouth of hell. Blindly on. Dance. Dancing sort of connotates happiness, right? Having a good time. You're doing what you want to do. You don't see too many people that are forced into a dance. You know, most people are doing it because that's what they want to do. They think it's a good thing. And yet, people blindly dance on right at the mouth of hell, not realizing it. What did Isaiah say? Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth. Where are you tonight? Where are you? Have you had your eyes opened? Have you let the Lord touch your eyes? Have you come to the Lord and said, Lord, would you fill me with your Spirit? Lord, I'm willing to lay my life down. Lord, I'm willing to give up the way that seems right unto man. Lord, I realize that this is how I see it, and it's my reality. But Lord, I realize it's not the true reality. My perspective is messed up. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Folks, we won't see anything except the Lord opens our eyes. I don't want to be in this place. Young folks, don't get caught up in this number. The reason you hear so much from those that are preaching and teaching to the young folks is because we're in a battle today. It seems like, I remember one time I was at work and it seemed like that things were going from bad to worse. And I asked one guy one time, I said, when is this going to stop? And he said, just about the time you think it can't get any worse, it shifts into the next gear up. And I feel like that's where we are today in the world, in society. The enemy has shifted in to another gear. The enemy is out to deceive the very elect. He's out to come among us. He's out to blind our eyes. I don't want to be blinded. I want to be able to see. I want to be able to see clearly so that I can make it through to the end and hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I walked with you. I talked with you. We walked together. I showed you this was the way to go. And you went that way. And you followed me all the way to heaven. I want to be there. That's what I'm living for. Brother Philip said something this morning that just registered with me. He said, I've given myself to this every day of my life. I don't want to be turned away now. Are you living that way? Do you have that urgency in your heart? That this is what I want worse than anything else. Lord, I would see Jesus every day. Not just Sundays. Not just when I get in trouble. But Lord, when I go through a day, Lord, I want to see You. I want to know what You want from me. I want to live for You with everything I have. Lord, I'm going to trust You with my life. I'm going to trust You with my affections. Lord, I'm willing to give up some things because I believe in You. Are you there? What are you looking for? The Lord wants you to come to Him and say, Jesus, I want to see You. Because you know why? Because He's right there saying, I want to see You too. I want to sit with You. I want to walk with You. I want to open Your eyes. Don't you want to see things that you can't see now? Have you ever put on glasses and said, whoa, people, I've heard this before. I'm probably there and just haven't. Anyway, you hear people that haven't gotten glasses when they should have. And they finally get the glasses after a long time and they put them on. They say, oh my goodness, I didn't realize things looked this way. Everything's so green and clear and they had a distorted sense of reality. Don't you wish you could see something? If you're here tonight and you don't have that sense of urgency and that burning in your heart of Lord, I would see Jesus. Oh, Father, I want to see you. If you don't have that, if you're not living that way, don't you want to see some reality that you don't currently see? You don't want to walk through blind. The Scripture said if the blind lead the blind, they both fall into the ditch. Who are you willing to lose as a result of you being blind? Really? Young parents that have children. How much are you willing to gamble for your children's sake? Did you know a lot of times parents set the high bar? How parents live and what their standards are, often, that's the high bar that's set. And children many times view that as kind of the limit. You set the limit down here, and you're going to see your children a little bit lower. I don't want to be blind. I don't want to not have been touched by Jesus. I don't want to raise my children having not been touched by Jesus. I want to teach them right. I want to teach them truth. And I want to be so convinced of it. Hear me out. Because you need to be this convinced too. You need to be so convinced about what truth is so that when those that are the very closest to you look at you and say, that's not the way it is. I don't see that. You're wrong. That you can say, oh, no, I'm not. Might not say it like that, but you have it in your heart. It's like, I see it. I'm looking out the window and I see the chariots of the Lord. I know they're there. I see the fire. I see the work they're doing. I know why the Syrian army is not closed around my house. It's because the angels of the Lord are holding them back. They are out there and I see them. And we need to be convinced in our hearts and in our minds what truth is. We need to have our eyes of understanding opened. We need to have the Lord know that we want Him more than anything else in life so that when we come across these tough places and we're in them now, when many come among us and say, don't think that's how it is, don't see it that way, that we can say, oh yes, yes, that's what I see. It's not up for interpretation. It's not up for opinions. It's because I see it and I know it and it's burning in my heart and the Lord's opened it to me. That's where I want to be tonight. Don't you want to be there? If you're not there, I want to bring you some good news tonight. The Lord can get you there. If you don't feel that burning, God has that burning to put in your heart and in your life. The Lord wants to come down and He wants to bring about a change in your life. He wants us to come and reach for the hem of His garment. He wants us to push through the press. He wants us to press into the kingdom. And do you know that when we do that and we give our hearts and our lives to Him and we say, Lord, here I am, He takes that which is imperfect. He takes that has lost hope and maybe has lost direction and doesn't see the way of the Lord clearly and maybe the value of your life just seems to continue to diminish as you go through life and you think you see and you think you know and you think you understand and over repeatedly you become disappointed because it wasn't just like you thought it was. The Lord is there waiting. He's saying, oh, just let me get a hold of you. Just come to me. Just turn yourself over to me. Let me tune your life a little bit and I can change. I can bring about a change in your life that you never dreamed possible. Well, would you let me read a poem tonight? You know which poem I'm going to read now. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth its while to waste much time on the old violin. But he held it up with a smile. What am I bidding, good folks? He cried. Who will start the bidding for me? A dollar, then two, only two, $2, and who will make it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three. But no, From the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the loose strings, he played a melody, pure and sweet as caroling angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What am I bidding for the old violin?" And he held it up with the bow. $1,000? Who will make it two? 2,000? And who will make it three? 3,000 once, 3,000 twice, and going and gone, said he. The people cheered, but some of them cried, "We do not quite understand what changed its worth." Swift came the reply, "The touch of the master's hand." And many a life without a tune, and battered and scarred with sin, is auctioned cheap to the spotless crowd, much like the old violin. Mess of pottage, glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He is going once and going twice, he's going and almost gone. Oh, but the master comes, and the foolish crowd can never quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand. Do you want to see Jesus tonight? Do you want to feel his touch? Do you sense tonight that maybe your life is just maybe a little bit out of tune? Do you sense that maybe your affections and your desire and what you see in life as what you want, that maybe it doesn't have the sense of urgency of, "Sir, where's Jesus? We would see Jesus. We would have our eyes opened." Are you there tonight? Do you find that you have kinship with things that really aren't consistent with righteousness and holiness? Do you find that you're drawn maybe a little too much to many of the things that the world is drawn to? Do you know that's a warning sign?
Yes, it is.
It doesn't mean that everything that's out in the world is sin, because it's not. But do you know that if you're drawn, if you just find yourself drawn, and your time, and your affection, and the things that seem attractive to you, if you're drawn to the things that the world flocks to, it's a warning sign.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Did you know that the Lord wants to touch you?
Yes.
You know the Lord wants to come down and open your eyes, and the things that before that seemed so attractive, the things that used to seem that they had such a pull on you that the devil told you, "Well, you can't possibly give that up. Oh, you can't possibly let go of that. That's who you are. Why, that's part of you. You can't let go of that. You can hang on to it and still be a Christian." The Lord wants to come along and put some different glasses on you. The Lord wants to come on and touch you. And when He does, you will look at the same things that you looked at before with a whole completely different perspective. Just like the man that we read about looked out and he saw all the Syrians. But then he was touched and he looked again and there was more there than what he thought. And when the Lord comes along, He touches our eyes in a way that causes us to begin to see the end of all of the things that the world has to offer. All of the things that draw on our time, what we look at, what we listen to, what we think about, where we go, all of those things take on a whole different meaning. And when the Lord, when the Master comes and He touches your life, you look at those things and you lose interest for a reason. It's because they don't interest you anymore. It's because you've been touched by the hand of the Master. And then you go to others that have testified in the past and you hear people say, "Now I know what you were talking about. Now I see it. Now I understand. I didn't see it before. I didn't understand it before, but now I understand. Now I see it. Oh, thank God for the touch of the Master's hand. Did you know He's willing to come down to whosoever will? It doesn't matter who you are and what you've done and where you've been and what's in your life. Oh, if we'll just come to Him tonight with a prayer similar to the Greeks that came to Philip. And we come and say, Jesus, Lord, we would see Jesus. Lord, I want to see You. Lord, I'm done with the other business. Lord, I'm willing to exercise some faith. I don't understand how I can give it up. I don't understand, Lord, how I can live this way. It seems so different than me, but Lord, I want my eyes to be opened so that I can see with renewed vision, with clear eyesight, so that I can see the end of these things. And the Lord will be there to tune the strings of your life, to take the things that were just a little out of whack, put His hand on it, begin to right the crooked places, the places where you thought there's no way. Oh, there's no way the Lord can fix this. Why should I go to Him? I've made such a mess of things. There's no way that I can get back into a state where this doesn't control my life. Oh, I bring you far different news than that tonight. We're talking about the Master. We're talking about the Creator. We're talking about the One who moves large stones without men's hands. Mary and Martha came to see Jesus. And they wanted to see Him. And they put forth the effort to come see Jesus. But they realized there was a stone bigger than they were in the way when they got there. And they said, well, how are we going to move the stone? We want to see Jesus, but how are we going to get to Him? Oh, but when they got there, the stone was already moved. The Lord had been there before they got there. The Lord is willing to move the obstacles in your life. He's willing to change you. He's willing to set your feet on solid ground. He's willing to work a miraculous work in your life if we can just get a vision of what He can do for us. The touch of the Lord works miracles, folks. Think about Jesus calming the storm. The waves were all around and the disciples were fearful. And all Jesus had to say was, peace, be still. And everything calmed. And do you know who the benefactors of that? The disciples. Why? Because they were with Jesus. They were positively affected by Jesus, who worked in ways that superseded the powers of nature. Restoring sight to the blind. Remember, Jesus came along and said, what would you have me do? Oh, Lord, that I may see. Reached forth His hand, and they saw. Do you want to see tonight? Oh, the Lord reaches down to the lowest of places. Think about the thief on the cross. Oh, it seemed like hope was gone. His hands were nailed to the cross. He was just moments away from death. The thief was. No opportunity to redo life. No opportunity to demonstrate that he was willing to go a different way. Oh, but you know what he did? While he was up on the cross in seemingly a hopeless state, he reached out to the Lord. And the Lord, who was nailed to another cross, reached out to him. Yes. And oh, that wonderful day, the Spirit of the Lord touched the thief on the cross. Yes. And he said, this day, you're going to be with me in paradise. Did you know that the Lord wants to do that for you? Have you been touched by Jesus? Have you experienced the touch of the Master's hand? What are you looking for in life? Do you see Jesus? Do you have a desire in your heart that supersedes all else. Oh, Lord, I want to see you. Lord, I want to live for you. Lord, no matter what. Those are powerful words, no matter what. And the enemy hates them. Have that kind of purpose. Exercise that kind of faith. Lord, no matter what, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but no matter what, by the grace of God, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to follow you all the way. You are going to be my end goal. I am going to go after you. I am going to walk away. Don't know how I'm going to do it. And when we say that, oh, Jesus is there to pick us up and to tune us and change our life. And we said, no, where did the value come? How did this happen? It's because of the touch of the Master's hand. And the Master is here tonight extending an offer to every single person that's in this building. You know, I thought about those who have been so far, so long away from looking for Jesus. Those that for so long have held back from giving their all. You know, it seems like it's almost like it's a huge mass, inertia that has to be overcome. The enemy seems to work especially hard. If it's been a long time since you've sought Jesus with all of your heart, if you've been settled in your ways, you've become accustomed to the way your violin plays, and you think, well, this is just how it is with me. These messages apply to everybody else. Did you know that the Lord is calling? He's calling you. He's saying, come. Let's reason together, saith the Lord. Yeah, I like the Lord's way of reasoning. Though you may be all messed up, I can fix you. I like that kind of reasoning. Though you don't have anything to offer in return, I'll take care of it. Sir, we would see Jesus. One day, sooner than later, the day is going to come when the books of our life are going to be opened. Every one of us has a book, if you will. Every single one in here tonight has a book that has been written about your life, everything in it. And there's coming a day when that book is going to be opened. And time is going to have run out to be touched by the Master. And everything about who we are, everything that we've done, whether it be good or whether it be evil, whether it be out in the open or whether it be a secret thing, it's all going to come out. And I want to give you my testimony tonight. When my book is opened, because I'm writing a book too, with the decisions that I make. Every single person here has something to say about the type of music that is played in your life. You're making decisions. Oh, you don't control all of the consequences that come in your life from the standpoint that if you walk down your way, it ends poorly, and you don't have control over that, but you have the decision rights. God has given you the decision rights to say, Lord, we would see Jesus. Lord, would you take my hand? Lord, I give you my all. Lord, I give up trying to figure out how to do it on my own. Lord, I give up this hybrid experience. Lord, I give up trying to serve myself and you. Lord, I give up trying to customize it. Lord, I just give you my all. Lord, just take me over. Lord, clean me off. Tune me like you think I ought to be tuned. You have an ear for it. Lord, I don't. When we do that, when we come to the Lord with that, then our book, I want my book, when it's written and it's read and it's closed and it's put to the side, I've mentioned this before and it's my testimony, I want to stand before the Lord. And at the time of judgment, I want the Father. I want Him to see some blood on my hands. I want Him to see the blood that was passed from the hands of Jesus. I want Him to know I've been holding the hands with Him. I want Him to know that He was my life. I want Him to be able to see the reflection of the Savior. When He looks in my eyes and the time of judgment is at hand, and He looks down at Rod Smith, born 1971, Salem, Oregon, and He looks in my eyes, I want Him to see the reflection of His Son. I want Him to see it. And you know what? It's in my power to make that happen. And it's in your power to make that happen. You too can do that. You can have a clear, you can have a clear slate. You can come before the Lord, and no matter what's in your past, no matter what road you've gone down, no matter what difficulties you face, it can be your story. It can be your end. That the Lord looks upon you with a smile and says, well done, I know you. I know you. I've got a house for you. It's been prepared for you. I'm looking forward to talking with you. Looking forward to having some more song services like you had back on the 23rd of June in 2012. Come on in. Don't you want to be there? I do. I don't want to miss it. I want to give it my all. I want to give it a half effort. I want to give it everything. Your life tonight can be worth so much more than what the world's willing to give for it. A dollar? Maybe two or three? The world will give you that. You get a little satisfaction out of it. But your life can be enriched. Oh, your life can be tuned. You can have new eyesight, restored eyesight, new vision, see new things. If you're just willing to come and say, oh Lord, I would see Jesus and understand and experience the touch of the Master's hand. Amen.